9 minutes after 11. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Ahlan wa sahlan. Welcome to Al Mashriq on Radio Islam International. It's Wednesday morning, and inshallah, Aziz, we start off Al Mashriq this morning with a discussion on current affairs, top stories around the world, looking at different things that are interesting and things that we could possibly take a lesson from as well. And inshallah, that will take us through to 11:30. After that, we will be speaking to Malana Ahmad Chauhan about the seerah of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, the life of Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Particularly, we'll be speaking about the shama'il, the characteristics of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Inshallah, that is our lineup for today. Our first aspect, the first part of our program, centers around current affairs stories around the world. Now, I like to take a little bit of a twist, a little bit of a different look, stories that are not as popular as mainstream news, but are quite interesting as well. And so, we'll get the first story is very interesting. Arabic coffee soars in popularity. Many who have been for Umrah, for Hajj, have tasted the famed qahwa that is served, particularly during the month of Ramadan, on fasting days, Mondays and Thursdays, in the harams in Mecca and Medina. And this qahwa is served with particular delight and pride by the local Arabs. Now, what is it? What's it all about? Qahwa is an Arabic coffee made with coffee beans there, and roasted coffee beans. And there are many qahwa shops that have sprung up in Saudi Arabia. Now, many shops selling foreign coffee in the kingdom, Starbucks and the like thereof, were propping up, and so the locals thought that this would lead to the demise of Arabic coffee, of qahwa. And it appears the opposite is true, and young Saudi men and women are increasingly drinking traditional Arabic coffee, especially now that many shops are offering it. Several shops are now concocting their own versions of this drink with European and American desserts to attract customers. And I particularly like qahwa. They say it's an acquired taste. There is a very bitter taste, and drink it without sugar. But I like it. I enjoy it in small quantities. It's really, it appeals to my palate, so to say. So Ahmed Ali, an Egyptian working at a coffee and confectionery shop, said, "We began offering Arabic coffee the traditional Saudi way because of the constant demand from young men and women. We offer it with dates associated with drinking Arabic coffee." And so there's different flavors, and there's different mixes that you can actually buy from the sweet shops and from the coffee shops, etc. So we are looking at beautiful Arabic coffee and how that's taking off in Saudi Arabia. It was a tradition, and it's taking off in Saudi. Sweet and confectionery shops are very popular in Saudi Arabia. And that leads us to the next article that we're looking at, and that's that Saudi teens' lifestyle is unhealthy. This comes out of the Arab news as well. It says a large number of Saudi teenagers between the age of 13 and 19 suffer from obesity and lack of vitamin D. They smoke tobacco, indulge in dangerous practices such as driving without seatbelts, and are bullied at school. This is among the shocking findings of a study of 12,000 teenagers conducted by Faida bin Saleh, head of the Adolescent Medicine Research Program at King Abdullah International Medical Research Center in Riyadh. The study, entitled "Our Generation," surveyed male and female teenagers at schools in the kingdom. They were asked several questions on 12 health topics, including family status, nutrition, safety on the road, smoking, bullying, mental illness, and access to health care services. The researchers also asked the teenagers to submit to medical examinations and have their blood tested to see whether they suffer from chronic illnesses and obesity. The study found that 30% of the teenagers were overweight and obese because they ate meals that were not nutritious and consumed large amounts of energy and soft drinks. In addition, 16% were regular smokers. And this we're looking at students between the age of 13 and 19. The study found that 95.6% of them had a lack of vitamin D, sunshine, and 13.8% never put on their seat belts in vehicles. 17.9% drive cars without the knowledge of the parents. Researchers discovered that 20.8% were subjected to physical violence at school, 25% were bullied, 10% smoked shisha, is that huqa, and 16.5% inhaled glue, gasoline and other similar substances. 24% had difficulty accessing health care services. So these these youngsters are being interviewed and researched, and there is an issue with teenagers in Saudi Arabia. Then the researchers said that the widespread assumption that young people between the ages of 10 and 19 are healthy was not true. Previous studies have shown that 70% of early deaths among adults resulted from poor health practices during adolescence. And so if you don't live well as a teenager, you don't expect to grow well as an adult. It reminds me of a story, and this was given to us by a delegation of ulama from Saudi Arabia, and they mentioned this. They said he was an old man who was traveling by ship, and the ship reached the shore. There was a bit of a distance, 2 meters or so, that had to be covered between the ship and the bank. And it was very difficult to get over that, and people falling in, etc. And this old man was in the age about 90 or so, and he took one lead from the ship and comfortably landed on the shore. Now, when he did that, the people around him were surprised. A 90-year-old man taking one lead from the ship onto the shore. What's his secret to this good health? And he replied in Arabic. He said, "Hafidhtu ala a'da'i ala a'da'i fi sighari fa hafizat alayya fil kibari." Very simple statement, he says. "Hafidhtu ala a'da'i fi sighari fa hafizat alayya fil kibari." That I took care and I protected and I safeguarded my limbs from sin, from wrong, and from ill health practices, etc., during my young age, and today they are taking care of me in my old age. And this is advice that we need to give our young generation, that not only sinning, but even general health practices, or general sports and activities that we do. You find people who used to play sport, and who used to get involved in different types of extreme activities as well. And when they reach their old age, those joints that were injured at a young age are now giving them trouble in their old age. Ankles, knees, hips, etc. And most often because of, we're not saying don't participate in sport. Yes, you must participate in sport, but you must do it wisely. If you are injured, you give your time, your body a chance to recover, to restore good health, and then you go back to playing sport. And similarly, when you are sick, and also more important than that is to protect your limbs from any sin, and they will protect you and take care of you in your old age. This is very important advice, and it's life advice for our youth. Life advice that they won't just learn from books and manuals like that. Okay, so those are the two stories out of Saudi Arabia. Now we come to a few South African. There's one more story out of Yemen that I'd like to look at, and a story out of India. Firstly, the story out of Yemen says the rare cyclone batters war-torn Yemen. We know that Yemen is war-torn. There's major bombings by Saudi Arabia all over the country, and people are living in poverty and difficulty and challenges. And now a rare tropical cyclone has slammed into Yemen, triggering heavy flooding and causing enormous damage in a region of the war-wrecked country. Pecking winds of more than 100 kilometers per hour. Winds of more than 100 kilometers per hour. Cyclone Chapala made landfall in the southeastern provinces of Hadramaut and Shabwa. The damage is enormous, and we fear human losses, said the Minister of Fisheries Fahad Kafain. Storm earlier wreaked havoc on the island of Socotra, located 350 kilometers off the Yemeni mainland. More than 200 people were injured, and dozens of houses and hamlets were severely damaged. And you can see images on social media showing heavy floods hitting the streets of Mukalla, and the cars were half submerged in muddy water, while seafront roads were badly damaged by high waves. So we request everyone to please remember the people of Yemen, remember the country of Yemen in your du'as. And it reminds me of the beautiful hadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, الإيمان يمان والحكمة يمانية. That true belief is يمان. It is based in Yemen. والحكمة and true wisdom is found in Yemen. And this is the beauty of the hadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Great ulama and darul ulums and seats of learning in Yemen, the traditional lifestyle and the simplicity of their life. And we had a lecturer from Yemen who lectured us at our Islamic studies course at UJ University of Johannesburg, and was brought down by Maulana Ashraf Dokrat, and he lectured us in Quran studies and the points and the ulum that he shared with us at that time were unmatched. It was seriously unmatched and beautiful and simple way that he put it, and the simplicity of the man himself was really outstanding. And that is the nature of the people of Yemen. All we need to do is make dua. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grants them relief, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala removes from them their difficulties, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala protects them from all calamities. And so we make dua for the people of Yemen, inshallah al-Aziz. Then another story coming out of India. This is a worrying story as well. Uber, you know about the famous Lyft app for people to give you a ride, Uber. And a lady got into a car driven by an Uber driver, and she was raped in New Delhi. And now this Uber driver was sentenced to life in prison for raping this woman. And it inflamed fears of over sexual violence in the capital. The Delhi court last month convicted Shiv Kumar Yadav of abducting and raping the 25-year-old passenger. She returned home from dinner with friends in December. Yadav, dressed in a white checked shirt, wiped tears from his cheeks as the judge read out the sentencing. The maximum possible jail term for rape, he will serve rigorous imprisonment, which shall mean imprisonment till natural death. That's what Judge Kaveri Baweja to the court in New Delhi. And so this company called Uber was accused of failing to conduct adequate background checks after it had merged. Yadav had been accused of assaulting other women, although he had no previous convictions. And then that's a major problem there, and Uber was banned in Delhi for that time after that attack. And well, we need to be careful who you jump into the car with. And people use Uber here in South Africa as well. People taking advantage of the service, and it's really convenient, makes life easy for you. But obviously you need to be very careful as well when using it, and do your background checks, do your homework properly. Coming back to South Africa, we have a few issues that we need to be of concern. We need to be concerned about, and that we need to make particular dua for. Firstly, the babies left behind in hospitals. Over the past 3 years, 378 babies who have been born in Gauteng hospitals have been forsaken, left behind by the very people meant to safeguard them from the perils of life. In 2013, 147 babies were abandoned, 124 in 2014, and 107 were abandoned between January and September this year. The worst affected hospital has been Larutong near Krugersdorp, where 100 babies were abandoned over this period. At Far Eastern Hospital in Springs, 47 babies were abandoned, 30 infants were abandoned at Chris Hani Baragwana Hospital in Soweto. The department attributed the child abandonment to unwanted pregnancies, lack of family support, financial constraints due to unemployment, and children deserted by fathers. Other factors include fear of parents, resentment towards the baby, and teenage pregnancy. And the department spends around 2,000 rand a day for the upkeep of each child. And then once out of the hospital, where do these babies go? Hospital social workers work with various organizations, including the Department of Social Development, in order to place these children in homes and adoption agencies. And so that is a problem that we really need to pray for, and we really need to educate people about, and give them a sense of responsibility. Another hospital story, a KZN hospital. This time it wasn't a public hospital, but it was a private hospital, the Natkeer St. Augustine's Hospital. It's what is believed to be the first major bungle of its kind in the South African hospital. A cancerous kidney removed during a 5-hour operation cannot be traced. Kidney belonging to cancer patient Prakasim Derek Rogers was removed specifically for the conducting of a biopsy and histology tests at two Durban laboratories. The crucial tests, which would have determined the type of cancer Rogers is stricken with and the extent it has spread, were not done because his kidney disappeared. So they removed the kidney, put it one side, was supposed to go for biopsy and for histology tests, and the kidney has disappeared. Now, the hospital obviously apologizes, but this is obviously a very distressing thing for the family and for the people. We pray for ease and afiat and protection for every one of us, particularly when we are undergoing medical treatment. And we make dua that Allah guides the hand of all surgeons, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grants us complete shifa and health, good health, after going through whatever medical procedures they may be. Then, coming to the water crisis, Radio Islam is launching our water conservation campaign, and an article in the IOL this morning says that this is more serious than load shedding. KZN announced that more than 474 million had been allocated to municipalities across the province for water tankers, boreholes, animal feed and drought relief measures. And a visit to just one district in Zululand highlighted the devastation. Mercury visited the Umkhanyakude district in Zululand, which is reeling. More than 35,000 cattle lost. 35,000 cattle is a huge amount. And the department says that 352.4 million had been set aside by the Department of Water and Sanitation earlier this year to help alleviate the drought. And so there's a big problem with drought. And we make dua that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make it easy for the people, and we make istighfar and tawbah and turn to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, seeking His forgiveness, seeking His maghfirah, and we make tawbah to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for all that we have done, what we know we have done, that what we don't realize, the wrong we have committed, and what we have committed intentionally, unintentionally, all sins. We beg and pray that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala forgives us all, and we continue making istighfar and tawbah to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and we pray for the mercy of Allah Rabbul Izzah. Finally, his story of a little bit of a humorous side, but also has a twist to it. Cape matric pupil steals bus. Now, a desperate matric pupil stole a bus to drive his fellow pupils to school because he was afraid they might miss the examination. What happened was the bus was there. The driver was supposed to drive them to school, but he hadn't showed up by 7:30 a.m. to take them to Horston Secondary School, and decided to take matters into their own hands. And so they said, okay, let this youngster, Lee Ann Adonis, is 20 years old, and he's in matric this year, and they wanted to get to school, so they said, let him drive the bus. And so he started driving the bus, and they were stopped by traffic police just before the school. So that's a story, and now he has to face the music for that. And there's a huge story around that. That's our current affairs stories for today. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us all understanding. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala protect us from all challenges and difficulties. Grant us afiat. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us mubarak and blessed, beneficial rains. Ameen ya Rabbil Alameen. 28 minutes after 11, we take a little bit of a break. When we return, we will speak to Mawlana Ahmed Chauhan. Stay tuned. Welcome back to Al Mashriq on Radio Islam International, and a warm welcome this morning to our guest, Mawlana Ahmed Chauhan. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Wa alaikum assalam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. How are you, Mawlana?
Very well, alhamdulillah, shukr, Mawlana. I hope you're keeping well today.
Yeah, alhamdulillah, Allah shukr.
Alhamdulillah, shukr. Last week, in the weekend, you people had warnings of heavy winds and heavy storms. How was the wind, and was there much damage?
Ma, there was quite a lot of wind. The damage came more to the impoverished people. But alhamdulillah, I think what was expected didn't happen as much as the authorities thought it would happen. So alhamdulillah, in that aspect, things were under control.
Okay, alhamdulillah, shukr. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant afiat and protection. And how's the rainfall? Any improvement in the rainfall?
Maulana, we still need for a lot of rain. We had slight drizzles in Durban, but the outskirts, outlying areas, brothers from Cape Town are telling me that they're going to be cut off with water for a long while. Other places also are in a similar position. Dams are not full. So I think dua and istiskar needs to carry on. And a lot of toba and istighfar, and turn our hearts towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Our people, generally, we've been a nation that has been blessed by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And when these conditions come, it's very difficult for us to bear. Even a little bit of restrictions makes it very difficult for us.
Mm-hmm. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant afiyat and protection. It is really a worry and concern, but also at the same time, we as believers understand that our full tawakkul and trust is in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala.
Jee, 100%.
Now we continue with our program on the Shama'il of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, inshallah.
Jee, inshallah. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh to all our listeners of Radio Islam International. Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim, nahmaduhu wa nusalli ala rasulihil kareem amma ba'd. We've been discussing the sublime conduct of Nabi Karim sallallahu alayhi wa sallam so far as his sleeping etiquettes were concerned. Then we came on to dreams. We discussed various aspects of dreams. And the last topic that we had begun last week was beholding Nabi Karim sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in one's dream. Inshallah, we'll pursue that topic, and inshallah, we will try and understand some aspects of seeing our beloved Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in dreams. One also needs to understand that many a pious person has left this world without beholding Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in their dream. So it is not actually a token of not being accepted by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala if one does not see Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in a dream. It is a great fortune, however, if one sees Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in a dream, but the viewer of the dream should by no means feel that it is a sign of acceptance by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. One should always be very, very wary of acceptance by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The other aspect is that with regards to seeing Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in a dream, many people become ambitious to see Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in their dreams. However, again, there is a little bit of caution that one should be also at the same time afraid and cautious that what if we see Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in a state or condition that we wouldn't want to see Nabi Karim sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, because that obviously will be a reflection on us and ourselves. So inshallah, we'll discuss these various aspects of seeing Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in our dreams. Now, we discussed the two hadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. We'll just go over that and then we will continue from there. The first hadith we had discussed was the hadith of Hazrat Anas radiyallahu ta'ala anhu, that Nabi Karim sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, whoever beholds me in his dream has certainly seen me, as shaitan cannot impersonate me. Now, just as Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, in his life he was protected by any form of influence of shaitan, similarly, after Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam's demise, Nabi Karim sallallahu alayhi wa sallam's being, his person himself is protected against any form of mischief from shaitan. So when a person sees Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in the dream, then he has definitely seen Nabi Karim sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Then we find that Sayyidina Abu Qatada radiyallahu ta'ala anhu, the raiser Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, whoever has seen me in a dream will certainly see me in reality. And now that reality quote could also mean in the time of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam, one would see Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam if he was living in the time of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam, or it could also mean, and this is more especially for those who did not see Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, who did not live in the time of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam, then it refers to the intercession of that person. And inshallah, there is another hadith that will elucidate and expand on that aspect. One very, very important incident that had taken place in the life of Kulayb, rahmatullah alayh. He narrates that Sayyidina Abu Huraira radiallahu ta'ala anhum narrated to him the hadith stating that one who has certainly seen Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam, and if one had dreamt of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam, then obviously that person will see Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam. Now Kulayb did not live in the time of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wasallam. So he says he mentioned this hadith to Sayyidina Abdullah ibn Abbas radiallahu ta'ala anhum and informed him that he had dreamt of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wasallam. So Sayyidina Abdullah radiallahu ta'ala anhu informed him that if he had seen Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam in the dream, then most certainly he will not be deprived, and he will certainly see Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam on the day of Qiyamah. So he informed Hazrat Abdullah radiallahu ta'ala anhu that during the dream he started seeing Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam, and then his mind drifted, and or rather in the vision he had seen Sayyidina Hassan radiallahu ta'ala anhu, and he found that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam and Hazrat Hassan radiallahu ta'ala anhu, Hassan here refers to the grandson of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wasallam, that both had similar features. So Sayyidina Abdullah ibn Abbas radiallahu ta'ala anhu affirmed this and informed him that Sayyidina Hassan radiallahu ta'ala anhu was almost identical to Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wasallam in many respects. Now here he sees the dream, and this is, it will be regarded as an absolutely true dream as interpreted by Sayyidina Abdullah ibn Abbas radiallahu ta'ala anhu, that he saw Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he sees Hazrat Hassan radiallahu ta'ala anhu, and he sees the similar features of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in that of Hazrat Hassan radiallahu ta'ala anhu. Ibn Ulama have stated that Sayyidina Hassan radiallahu ta'ala anhu, more the bottom part of his body, was more a resemblance of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, while Sayyidina Hussein radiallahu ta'ala anhu, the upper portion of his body was more resembling that of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So on this, the ulama have written that it is possible sometimes that a person may be even more blessed by seeing Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and together with Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, one may see one of the Sahaba of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and here he was more fortunate in that he had seen one of the Ahl Bayt, the grandson of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Now we find that Sa'id ibn Qais rahmatullah alayhi narrates that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, whoever beholds me in a dream will be safeguarded against the fire of Jahannam. So Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam here has in actual fact given a very great form of glad tidings that that person will be safeguarded from the fire of Jahannam. Then we find in one narration in Qawlul Badi, the narration of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, in which he speaks about a particular durood, a particular salawat. If a person reads upon Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he will see Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in the dream. So let us read this durood, and let us try and understand the durood or the salawat upon Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. In this particular hadith, however, there is no numbers mentioned as to how much a person should read. The salawat is Allahumma salli ala Muhammad kama tuhibbu wa tarda, Allahumma salli ala ruhi Muhammad fil arwah, Allahumma salli ala jasadi Muhammad fil ajsad, Allahumma salli ala qabri Muhammad fil qubur. It is again, Allahumma salli ala Muhammadin kama tuhibbu wa tarda lahu. O Allah, send salutations upon Nabi Karim sallallahu alayhi wa sallam kama tuhibbu, like how you love, wa tarda lahu, and how much you are pleased, O Allah. Then Allahumma salli ala ruhi Muhammad fil arwah. O Allah, send salutations upon the ruh, the soul of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, amongst the arwah, in other words, amongst the other souls. Allahumma salli ala jasadi Muhammadin fil ajasad. O Allah, send salutations or convey salutations to the body of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam amongst the bodies. Allahumma salli ala qabri Muhammadin fil qubur. O Allah, send salutations upon the grave of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam from amongst the qabars, amongst the graves. So we say it one more time. Allahumma salli ala Muhammadin kama tuhibbu wa tarda ala. Allahumma salli ala Muhammad, Allahumma salli ala ruhi Muhammadin fil arwah. Allahumma salli ala jasadi Muhammadin fil ajsad. Allahumma salli ala qabri Muhammadin fil qubur sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So this is one of the ways that a person may see Nabi Karim sallallahu alayhi wa sallam by reciting this durood and conveying salutations to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Now in this particular hadith of Qawl al-Badi, we will find that Nabi Karim sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said that that person will see me in a dream. And then thereafter, Nabi Karim sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, whoever sees me in a dream will see me on the day of resurrection. Whoever sees me in a dream will see me on the day of Qiyamah, and I will intercede on behalf of all those people who see me on the day of Qiyamah. So just to see Nabi Karim sallallahu alayhi wa sallam on the day of Qiyamah is in itself meritorious, because within the ambit of this hadith and on the authority of this hadith, we may conclude that the intercession of Nabi Karim sallallahu alayhi wa sallam will take place, and such individuals will be very, very fortunate. Similarly, all those who gain my intercession will drink from my well, that is the Hawz al-Kawthar, and that is again a very, very great privilege that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will grant. And whoever drinks from my well, from the Hawz al-Kawthar, will be saved from the fire of Jahannam. So whoever reads this durood, I'm going to read the durood one more time. Allahumma salli ala Muhammadin kama tuhibbu wa tarda ala. Allahumma salli ala ruhi Muhammadin fil arwah. Allahumma salli ala jasadi Muhammadin fil ajsad. Allahumma salli ala qabri Muhammadin fil qubur. And whoever recites this will see Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in a dream. Whoever sees Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in a dream will see Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam on the day of resurrection, on the day of Qiyamah. Nabi Karim sallallahu alayhi wa sallam will intercede on behalf of all those people who see him on the day of resurrection. And similarly, all those who will gain the intercession of Nabi Karim sallallahu alayhi wa sallam will drink from his well, that is the Hawd al-Kawthar. And whoever drinks from the well of Nabi Karim sallallahu alayhi wa sallam will be saved from the fire of Jahannam. Now from this hadith, it is quite evident that really and truly it is a great blessing to behold Nabi Karim sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in one's dream. Many Muslims, many of the ummah have this wish, and this is undoubtedly a very great bounty of bestowed upon a person from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And also it should be at the same time noted that beholding Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, it is a great blessing, but it does not mean that it is a criteria of Allah's acceptance of any individual. Now, one other very important aspect is many, many people have narrated that they had seen Nabi Karim sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in a different state. So we will find Hafid ibn Hajar al-Asqalani rahmatullah alayhi writes that if a person sees Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam as Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is described in authentic narrations, then one has actually seen Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Now according to him, according to Hafiz ibn Hajar al-Asqalani rahmatullah alayhi, if anyone sees any variations, it means that it is not a true dream, but it is a figment of one's imagination. The imagination intercepts the vision, and hence that person, in actual fact, did not see Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam. Now that is his own analogy, that is his own conclusion. Others have actually contradicted, and others have deferred with Hafiz ibn Hajar on this particular point. Some have said that if one sees Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam in an unusual state, it refers to some shortcoming on behalf of the person having the dream. One example that has been given is that if we see Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam in such a state that in the dream it is contrary to the sunnah, then it reflects, and it is a reflection of the deficiency of adherence to the sunnah by the viewer of the dream. So this is another very important aspect, and actually this is an important aspect in the sense that no matter how much we would desire to see Nabi Karim sallallahu alayhi wasallam, then there is this caution that because of our own deficiencies, we may see Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam in a state in actually which Nabi Karim sallallahu alayhi wasallam was not in. Now, a very simple example of this will be that a person sees something that is white in color, but that person wears, for example, a yellow glass or sunglasses over his eyes. So whatever is white, he begins to see yellow. Or if we take another example, a person that has jaundice, there is a sickness within himself, and whatever is white, he begins to see yellow. And whatever he sees yellowish. Now that didn't change the reality of what the person is seeing. In actual fact, it is because of an inner sickness that the person has, or it is because of some external factor that one begins to see something in a different state in this world. So similarly, beholding Nabi Karim sallallahu alayhi wasallam in a different state would be a reflection of the inner of a person. And no matter how blessed it may be to see Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam, however, Allama Tibi rahmatullah alayhi writes that a person is blessed no matter which condition he beholds Nabi Karim sallallahu alayhi wasallam. In other words, it is still a very great blessing from Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala. So these are some of the important aspects with regards to seeing Nabi Karim sallallahu alayhi wasallam in a different state to what Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam has been, or how it appeared to us in the authentic ahadith of Nabi Karim sallallahu alayhi wasallam. Also, Hafiz ibn Hajar al-Asqalani rahmatullah alayhi has written another very, very important aspect, that sometimes in the dream a person may see and there may be some instruction that is given, and that instruction will never ever change the law of the Shariat of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. There can never be anything that will abrogate the rule of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, but the wahi of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, or the wahi that came down to Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Now, sometimes we see certain things in a dream that actually conforms to wahi, then it is sort of an emphasis that is coming down. Just for example, a person sees Nabi Karim sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says to the person that conveyed, or say to the ummah, or you yourself must be firm on namaz, on salat. So that was obviously an instruction that has been given to us by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the Quran Kareem. It is an instruction that was given to us by Nabi Karim sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in the Mubarak hadith. So that is actually to fortify that instruction. So now the person won't become more vigilant on his salat because of the dream, but That is just to emphasize it. We are already doing it because it is the command of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And if Allah forbid there is some instruction that is given that is contrary to the Shariat, then there is nothing that can repeal, there is nothing that can abrogate, there is nothing that can change the command of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and least of all a dream. Because if we weigh that in the light and against the wahi that had come down to Nabi Karim sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, it does not hold any water whatsoever. So, some ulama have also stated that whoever dreams of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam will be blessed with a special sight of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam after he leaves this world. Mullah Ali Qari rahmatullah alayhi has stated whoever sees Nabi Karim sallallahu alayhi wa sallam smiling will be favored with the ability to strictly adhere to the sunnah of Nabi Karim sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. The smile of Nabi Karim sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and for that matter, the smile of any individual, is indicative of the person's happiness. And Nabi Karim sallallahu alayhi wa sallam smile, remember, everything of our Nabi Karim sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was with reason. There was nothing superfluous about the behavior, the character, the akhlaq of Nabi Karim sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the speech of Nabi Karim sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the smile or even the tears of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Then we will find that dreaming of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam may sometimes be indicative of the piety of a person. Beholding other Anbiya alayhi salatu wassalam in one's dream also indicates that one has the potential of being a pious servant of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So if somebody sees Nabi Karim sallallahu alayhi wa sallam smiling, you'll be favored with the ability to adhere to the sunnah. And if someone sees the Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam angry, Allah forbid, in the dream, it refers to the individual's deficiency in matters of deen. So may Allah protect us from such a dream, but at the same time, these are the realities. Seeing Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in a dream also may be indicative of the fact that one will leave this world in a state of iman, and one will have the honor of meeting or visiting Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in the hereafter. Ibn Sirin rahmatullah alayhi, we discussed him last week, that he was one of the great interpreters of dreams, what we will call tabiru ru'ya, the interpretation of dreams. He was a mu'abbid, a very capable, competent person on the interpretation of dreams. So he writes that if a person who has death sees Nabi Karim sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, then inshallah he will be relieved of his death very shortly. If a sick person sees Nabi Karim sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, then inshallah shortly he will be cured. If an oppressed person sees Nabi Karim sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, then inshallah justice will be meted out in his favor. And if one dreams of Nabi Karim sallallahu alayhi wa sallam at the time of war, then victory will be imminent. So hence we find that these are some of the interpretations of the great interpreter of dreams in this ummah of our Nabi Karim sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Then just one or two procedures if somebody wishes to see our Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in a dream. The great muhaddith of Delhi, Shah Abdul Abdulazi rahmatullah alayhi, has stated that a person who wishes to see Nabi Karim sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in his dream should perform two rakats of nafl salat on a Thursday after Maghrib. One should perform two rakats on a Thursday after the Maghrib salat. That person should recite Ayatul Kursi and Surah Ikhlas 11 times. That is obviously after the Surah Fatiha in each rakat. So first the person will read Surah Fatiha after the Sana. Then the person would read Ayatul Kursi and Surah Ikhlas 11 times each in each rakat. Upon the completion of the Salat, the person should recite this Durood 100 times. And inshallah within a 3-week period, he will be blessed with a vision of Nabi Karim sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. The durood that should be recited after the salat, Allahumma salli ala Muhammadin nabiyyin ummi wa alihi wa ashabihi wa sallim. اللهم صل على محمد النبي الأمي وآله وأصحابه وسلم. اللهم صل على محمد النبي الأمي وآله وأصحابه وسلم. He also writes that if a person performs the 2-rakat salat, reciting Surah Ikhlas 25 times in each rakat, and thereafter he reads this following durood 1,000 times, he will be blessed with the vision of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam. This durood is sallallahu ala Nabi al-Ummi. It's a very simple durood, sallallahu ala Nabi al-Ummi, which forms part of a hadith of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam. If he recites it 25, if he recites it 1,000 times, then inshallah he will be blessed with the vision of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So the two procedures: one is on a Thursday after Maghrib Salat, perform 2 rakats Nafil Salat with a great deal of ikhlas and sincerity, read the Sana, Surah Al-Fatiha, Ayatul Kursi 11 times, Surah Ikhlas 11 times, and in both the rakats, and having completed the Salat, one should recite, Allahumma salli ala Muhammadin min Nabiyyi al-Ummi, Allahumma salli ala Muhammadin min Nabiyyi al-Ummi, wa alihi wa ashabihi wa sallim 100 times. And the second procedure is similar: on a Thursday night after the Maghrib Salat, recite the 2 rakat Salat, but in this instance after Surah Fatiha, recite Surah Ikhlas. Surah Ikhlas actually is Qul Huwallahu Ahad 25 times in each rakat, and then 1,000 times recite Sallallahu ala Nabiyyi al-Ummi. Inshallah, that person will see Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in his dream, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows best. So to conclude this etiquette of dreams and the aspects of dreams, one should be hopeful and fond of seeing good dreams. Dreams should be interpreted in the masjid as far as possible by the pious ulama kiram. One should recite the dua when interpreting a dream. One should interpret dreams after Fajr Salat. One should narrate the dream to a pious, learned person for interpretation. Just after Fajr Salat, one should be cautious that now everybody gets up and we start phoning the ulama at that time. Maybe they are engaged in other activities, in their his classes, etc. So one should be doing it actually at a more appropriate time. One could also narrate one's dreams to one's close associates. One should decide Alhamdulillah after seeing a good dream. One should decide Ta'awwudh, A'udhu Billahi Minash Shaitanir Rajeem, after seeing bad dreams. And we find in the one narration, one should also perform Salat after one sees a perturbed dream. And if perchance one sees a bad dream, one should not narrate that to anyone else. May Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala give us all the ability and the strength to be steadfast on our deen. And may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make us true lovers of our Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and enthusiastic and ardent followers of the sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Wa sallallahu ala Nabi Kareem wa ala alihi wa sahbihi ajma'in. Alhamdulillahi rabbil alameen.